I'll be there for you. Do you know who did that song? The Rembrandts, yeah. Many of you know the song. It's from the sitcom Friends. Some of you are so young, talk to your neighbor about what that show's about. I had a youngster, and they were in their early 20s, and they're like, never heard of it. Yeah, so, yeah, there you go. We're continuing the series The Mix, and we're talking about, as Christ followers, getting the mix right. And we've talked about the importance of living the golden rule, treating others like we'd like to be treated. We've talked about the power of love and the importance of accepting people. And we talked about last week following the example of Jesus and serving others. And today we're just going to add to the mix, and we're going to talk about the importance of inspiring those around us. You know, when I was a young man, I was pursuing God, and I was trying to seek guidance, and I felt like God was nudging me towards something, but I'll be honest, I was kind of struggling. I didn't know exactly what God was moving me toward. I wasn't sure how to discern God's will or how to respond, and I had a dean at our camp, Dan Spruill. He took an interest in my life and just what was going on, and he kind of helped me make sense out of what God was trying to lead me to. And he did it by just raising questions and giving me a little bit of guidance and advice along the way. And he really spoke to my life at a very crucial point. And I remember on more than one occasion, he would say to me, say, Damon, God has a plan for your life. You just got to trust God. You got to listen to God carefully and, you know, observe what's taking place around you. And friends, that encouragement was critical to me understanding my call to ministry and commit myself to that. He was my mentor in my early adult life, and he just inspired me to keep moving toward God, keep pursuing God, keep pursuing that call that was on me. And as the years went by, those words of encouragement, well, they come from a lot of different people through the years. I remember when I was first wrestling with us starting Faith Fellowship, and there was a lot of negative voices around me. They were echoing very similar things. Other colleagues were like, don't do it, you know. It's too risky, you know, play it safe, you know. Stay on the same path you're on. It's secure, stay with the known. And so that was pushing against me, but my mentor at the time, he encouraged me and actually strengthened my faith in his words, they inspired me to see the possibilities, to realize that with God, anything was possible. And those were encouraging words for me. And they came at a very pivotal point in my life. And here's what I want you to hear is we all, at some point, need encouragement. We all need inspiration from time to time. And it doesn't matter, you might be a world-class skier pursuing gold. You need encouragement. As a parent, you desperately need it when you're facing the challenges of raising children today. You know, people need it when they get a pink slip at work, when their finances go south, or when they're facing a health challenge or some big challenge in their life. In fact, some of you need that today, don't you? You need some inspiration. You know, some of you feel like maybe you're stuck in second gear. You know, some of you would say it hasn't just been a day or a week or a month. It's been years. It's a tough place to be, isn't it? You know, the fact is we get stuck sometimes. Some of you are stuck today. You know, you need inspiration. All of us have been stuck at some point, right? and you were inspired by someone, you know, maybe a leader or a teacher, maybe a coach or a friend, a parent, grandparent. You know, their words came at just the right time. And they encouraged you and they inspired you. They helped you move forward, find your way. Their words made you better. You know, you read scripture, you realize Jesus was the master of encouragement. No matter who crossed Jesus' path, you know, whether it was a tax collector or a leper or a fisherman or a ruler or someone that had been caught in sin, with each and every interaction, you find Jesus encouraging people and challenging people and helping people become more of who God created them to be. You know, the Hebrew writer gives a very, very clear challenge. He writes this, verse 24, he says, "Let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to righteous deeds." You know, that word inspire, it's paroxuno. Paroxuno. It means to excite, to entice, to encourage, you know, to breathe or blow life into someone, which is interesting imagery because it's how God created the world. He breathed life into it. You know, when you inspire someone, you breathe life into them. You fill them with hope, with courage. And it's amazing what a little inspiration does. You know, when somebody's down, you know, somebody's hurting or struggling, when somebody's worn, broken, a little encouragement? It's huge, isn't it? Especially when the odds are against you. You know, I remember several years ago, Cindy and I went over to Forest Park for the balloon glow. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, it's really something. I mean, we saw these amazing balloons, but several of them hadn't been inflated yet, and so the fabric, it was just kind of spread out. It was laying on the ground, and then they fired up the tanks. You know, they get the flame burning. It's burning really hot. And then they start pushing the hot air into, they call it the envelope there. And what happens is that balloon begins to expand until finally it's full, it's bright. It's spectacular. It's a beautiful, beautiful sight to see. And then there comes that moment because the air, it's interacting with the colder climate. And when they cut the anchor, what's it do? It begins to rise. You know, the launch is only possible because of the warm air that's blown into it. Inspire those around you. Encourage them. Breathe life into them. And so here's the question. How do you fill other people with hope and courage and confidence? How do you inspire other people in your life? And before you can ever do that, friends, you got to spend time with them. You know, get to know them, listening to them. You know, listening to what matters to them. You know, whether it be their job or their family, their hobbies. You got to connect with that. They have to know that they matter to you, that you care enough to learn that stuff about them. And then you start communicating. You know, I celebrate you. You know what? I love the way God uniquely created you to do this and this and this. You know, when you look someone else in the eyes and you say, "You matter," it breathes life. It always does. You know, when someone knows they matter, you know what happens? They rise. They grow. They respond to life in a whole new way. you know, telling someone you're God's workmanship. You're fearfully, you're wonderfully made. You can do all things through Christ who will give you the strength to do whatever it is that you're facing. You know, here's a promise from God. I love this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you what? Hope and a future. I like that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
That's full of hope. If you believe it, it changes how you interact with people, with your friends, with your coworkers, with your family. It changes your perspective on absolutely everything. Friends, it breathes life into you. You find hope when you understand that. And people rise when they know they matter and when they know that they are loved. I have a good friend, I may have shared this before, but he's gifted at inspiring people. You know, he gets it, and he's always pushing them forward and just lifting people up. And I remember when we were first friends, that was a long time ago, but he was getting his business going, and he asked me to come by and see his business. And so we're walking around. He's introducing me to people. And then he would tell me what their job was. And then he'd tell me how good they were at their job and how important they were to the organization, how valuable they were to him. And he'd talk about their families and their kids and their hobbies, one after another after another. He'd just start going. He knew, and he knows, how to create an environment where people flourish, where they grow, they rise because of just language that he uses. And that he shows them that. And it wasn't just at work. I had breakfast with him one morning, and he would see someone he knew. In fact, we had a hard time eating. He knew so many people in this place. And he would just stop them, and over and over and over again, he would introduce me to him. He would tell me how inspiring and good they were at this and that and about their family. And friends, I watched literally people that kind of come in. It's morning, okay? It's breakfast. Haven't had our coffee yet, you know? And they'd come in, and they had a bounce in their step when they walked away. You know, Jesus showed us that. He loved the disciples. He was always doing things and saying things that would lift them up. And yes, Jesus challenged them sometimes. Jesus called them out once in a while, you know. But it is very evident when you read through the Gospels how much he cared for them, how much he valued them. In fact, how much he loved just being with them, spending time. I think about one instance that Jesus was about to go to the cross, and he knew it, and they were having the Last Supper. And he said this to them. He says, when the hour came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Recline at the table," he said. "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, we tend to focus on the Passover and the suffering, but do you hear the inspiration or the value that Jesus put on the disciples in that? I mean, do you catch it? It's kind of a clumsy phrase there. "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you." I've really been looking forward to having dinner with you tonight. You know, I am so glad you're here. You mean so much to me. And you can see this value that he places on them. They knew they were loved, not just for what they contributed, not just for what they could accomplish. No, they mattered because of who they were, just being themselves. And I wonder, who needs to hear you're fearfully, wonderfully made. You matter to me. Maybe a friend, you know, someone in your family. Maybe it's the neighbor across the street, someone at work or school. Who is it? You know, they just need to be reminded that they matter. Do you know how valuable and important that is for people to hear that? You know, that you notice them, you notice their efforts or their attitude or maybe their creativity or dependability. You know, when you let other people know they matter, friends, it breathes life. And I would argue we've got a whole society out there that needs life breathed into them. They lack purpose and they're struggling. You know, you can inspire people by just cheering for them. You can do this. You can do it. Keep at it. You know, you're created for this moment. You're more than capable. With God, all things are possible. You can get through this. Stand strong. You've got this. I'm praying for you. Those are cheers. It isn't complicated. It doesn't require a lot of time or work or even effort, honestly. It's just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and finding those moments where you can tell people they're valued. You know, the people around you, do they know they're valued by you? You see a need, you follow God's lead with that. You breathe life. You have that mentality, I'll be there, I'll do it. You know, a while back I had a buddy, his pastor friend of mine, and he's going through tough season. And he was discouraged, very weary. I heard about it, gave him a call, and we talked through it. The next day, I got up and I just sent him a real short text, basically said, I'm praying for you. You are made for this moment. It's time for you to rise, MVP time. And that's kind of something him and I have tossed back and forth through the years. And then I attached a scripture that I love the scripture. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I got back a real simple reply from him. Thanks. Okay, he's usually very wordy, but it was just thanks. And so I thought, well, okay. It was a few weeks later, might have been 3 weeks later. He goes, texts me, says, I'm running again. I might even fly. Thank you. Friends, God's word is full of inspiration. It breathes life. I mean, that scripture breathes life. And you go, okay, you know how I know that? Breathe life into me. I remember years back, and I was discouraged, kind of hit the wall. You ever do that? And somebody gave me a bookmark. It was a random thing, but they gave me a bookmark that had that verse on it. And I read that every day for several months. It breathed life into me. Who needs to be reminded that they can do whatever it is they're going to do or they're going through, that they can get through it? Friends, when God prompts you, in fact, you're thinking about that person right now, it may seem insignificant. In fact, sometimes you're going, well, this would be silly to send them this text or to give them a call. But friends, when you know somebody needs a word of encouragement, you don't defer it, you don't deflect it. Guess what? You just do it. Just do it. Nobody's going to go, huh, can't believe they tried to inspire me, you know. I mean, what are they going to do? Say, man, that was really an uplifting text. Don't ever send me one of those again. A while back, I was playing hoops, and one of the guys brought a friend with him, and it was evident about 2 minutes into the game, this guy had not played ball in a long time. In fact, I'm not sure he'd ever played ball, I'll be honest with you. And but he's sucking wind, and you could see he was getting really frustrated, and it, you know, it's just settling in on him. And some of the guys on the sidelines are watching him, and so pretty soon they're cheering for him, you know, and they're getting louder and louder, and then more guys joined in on the side. And I, you know what, I watched this guy. His countenance changed all of a sudden from being frustrated, and I just watched him rise. I mean, it was a cool thing to watch. Pretty soon, he's got his head lifted up. He's got more energy. They'd pass him the ball. He'd pass it off, and finally, the guys start chanting. They go, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it, because he's passing every time he gets the ball. He can't get rid of it quick enough, and finally, he takes a shot, and guess what? It was not Hollywood. It was the most beautiful air ball I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was pathetic. The guys on the sidelines, they keep in unison. They're going, keep shooting, keep shooting. You'll hit it, you know, it's okay. Who around you needs you to cheer for them and say, you can do this? Friends, you say those words, you watch them rise. I'm telling you, it changes things. You know, there's another phrase that we should use quite often, and that's don't quit. Don't quit. You know, Hollywood's made millions, probably billions, on just plots that are built around that. You know, storylines that revolve around some character who's facing some sort of challenge, and there's that pivotal moment where they're ready to give up, but they realize that giving up and quitting is not an option. You know, I always think about Rocky, you know. It ain't about how hard you hit. You know, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. You know, that's what winning does. It keeps moving forward. Yoda. Do or do not do. There is no try. All right, let's bring it down a level. Dory, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Swim, swim, swim. You know, quitting is not an option. It makes for great movies, and I understand it is really, really hard in life. We've all been there, right? Some of you, more than anything, need to hear today, do not quit. Hang in there. God will see you through. Keep holding on to God. With God, all things are possible. You can get through this. You know, I had a coach, he used to say to us all the time, he'd go, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you can't, you can't. Parents, teach your children, no matter what obstacle or challenge that they face in life, that quitting is not an option. Teach them that skill. It will play well throughout their life if they learn that. Show them how to navigate the challenges and the struggles in life. Show them how to trust God and just keep moving forward. And at some point, you get through what you're going through. You know, who in your life needs you to very lovingly and boldly say to them, do not quit. Do not quit. You know, maybe it's somebody that's ready to walk away from their marriage. Maybe it's somebody that's about to give up a fight with addiction. Maybe it's somebody that's going to quit school because it's just got too hard. You know, think about what it would mean if you were to reach out to them and go, you know what, I've been thinking about you and I'm praying for you and I believe all things are possible. You can get through this too with God. Somebody needs to hear those words today. Maybe somebody needs to hear, let it go. Learn from it. Move on. We have all messed up. All of us. All of us have messed up. All of us have hurt someone. All of us have made stupid choices. All of us have done the wrong things, said the wrong things. We all have. When I mess up, I mean, I don't know how many times my parents and my mentors, they said stuff very similar. They'd go, "You messed up. Learn from it. Let it go. Move on." When I see someone stuck in second gear, they're beating themselves up about something in their life, I do not hesitate to look them in the eye. Sometimes they won't. I'll go, "Look at me. Look at me. Let it go. Let it go. Learn from it, but let it go and just move on. Move on." You know, when I see someone that they can't forgive themselves, I'll look at me. You cannot fix your past. You can't. Ask for forgiveness. Let it go. Move forward with your life. You know, Google, one of the most successful companies, I think, in history. And they give that award not only for successes, but epic failures. And their thought, it's a strange thing, but is if you play it safe, if you are afraid to make a mistake, what happens is you get mediocrity with people. And so the employees in that kind of environment where they're afraid to make a mistake, they don't expand, they don't grow, they won't be innovative because they're afraid of failure. And so they award trophies, trips, prizes for failing. Think about that. Now, there is accountability there. It's not a who cares mentality. That's not what it's about. It's about being responsible, and that if you work hard and it's an honest effort and you give it your best and it results in failure, it's okay. Because what will happen is you'll learn from it, and ultimately you will rise, you'll grow, you'll get better at whatever it is you do. Sometimes a mistake's just a mistake. We've all made mistakes, right? Sometimes things don't turn out like you plan. Sometimes mistakes about a thing called sin. And I've said many times, Scripture says, sin wants to steal, kill, destroy. Sometimes the consequences of sin are devastating. Some of you know, because you've been there. Some of you are stuck today. Some of you have been carrying a pile of guilt and shame. Some of you, that mistake is holding you captive for months, years, some of you decades. If you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear this. God has a plan for your life. God wants to give you hope and a future. God will take that weight of sin that you've been carrying and will throw it in the depths of the sea, and it will be forgotten. It will not be able to come back up again. God will use what you've been through to grow you, change you, to do something brand new in you, if you let him. God says this through Isaiah, "The former things do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." The God of creation who created you is saying, I'm going to paraphrase it, move on, let the past go, whatever it is, learn from it, and move forward in faith, move toward that future, move toward that hope that God wants to give you. You know, put the relationship behind you, put the sin behind you, let go of the hurt and the pain and all that stuff you just keep holding on to. Do not let your past determine your future. Stop it. Stop. God wants to do something great through you. God wants to do something new in your life. It is time to let go and to start rising in your life. Some of you need to hear that today. Some of you, there's someone in your life that needs to hear that from you, because they're stuck in second gear. They're stuck in the past. And God wants to use you. Yes, you. Just pretend you're the only person that God's speaking to go give them a word. And God's saying, go encourage them. Help them move on. Help them move forward so that they'll press on. It's up to you. You know, everything we've talked about is really about, I believe in you. God believes in you. Anybody that knows me knows I have a passion to try and reach people and help people reach their God-given potential, who God created a future for. You know, maybe your past is holding you captive. Maybe life has been really, really difficult because of your childhood. Maybe you've been mistreated because of where you were from or what you look like. You know, maybe you've been discounted because you quit school or didn't get the education or whatever. Maybe you've never had anybody believe in you, and I want to tell you loud and clear, I want you to know I believe in you. God believes in you. There are people all around you who are longing to hear from anyone, someone. I believe in you. Can you imagine growing up and never hearing that? Spending a whole life and never have somebody whisper, I believe in you? Friends, I want Faith Fellowship to be the kind of church we scream that, I believe in you. I want it to be a place where we inspire one another. You know, where people can flourish and they can reach their full God-given potential. When you say, I believe in you, you know what you're doing? You're calling out the best in them. You're helping them have hope. You're helping them have a future. Friends, we must call out the best in people as a church. We absolutely have to inspire one another. It's what God's people do and have been doing for centuries. And we must fill people with the promises of God and give them hope. This world's hopeless sometimes when you look around. They need God's hope. You know, by breathing life into them, by cheering people on, here's the cool part of it. You become a person who encourages others. If you do that, if you breathe life into other people, you get to watch them rise. It's a beautiful thing. And you get to see what God's going to do in and through you. Faith Fellowship, I believe, is at its very, very best when we're lifting other people up, when we're helping other people rise and get through when we're inspiring others to go higher, further. So one more time, let us consider how to inspire each other to greater love and to righteous deeds. Let's have a word of prayer together. God, help us to inspire those around us. In fact, God, I ask you to make us uncomfortable until we do just that. That person that's flashing through our mind right now, then when we leave this place, we're going to give them a call. We're going to send them a text. We're going to walk across the street. We're going to see them Monday morning at work, and we're going to encourage. God, help us to be that kind of people, that kind of church. God, we thank you for those that have spoken to our lives, that they spoke at a crucial time. And God, we thank you that they listened to you and did just that. Help us to leave this place and do the same thing to all those around us. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. We're going to celebrate in communion this morning. We're going to celebrate by intinction, which means there's a cup and a wafer. You can break the wafer when you come down. You can leave it whole, dip it in the cup, and we kind of mix it up around here. Ushers will give you guidance and dismiss row at a time. But, you know, Jesus Christ died for you. Let that sink in. He died for you, and he believes in you. And when he allowed his body to be beaten, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, it was for you. That's how valuable you are. And so we celebrate that as a community. And it's a time for you to remember that great sacrifice and to also remember you're that important to God that he sent his son for you. Let's bow in prayer. God, I pray you would bless this cup. Bless the bread. And that as we partake, that we do so with thankfulness, realizing it cost your son everything. And God, I still, as long as I've been walking with you, I'm utterly amazed that you could love us that much, that you could love me that much. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise this day with what we say and do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. As the ushers are dismissing, you come forward. The rest of us are going to join in worship and let's sing together.